This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, good Friday morning to you. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on the road, as we've been all week here at Cunningham's Journal. And day one of, well, I don't care what they say. It was the first round last night of the NCAA basketball tournament. And that mushroom cloud you saw over the city of Kearney was my bracket, because it blew up big time over the last 24 hours. But you know what? I don't think I'm alone with that. Randy Bushcutter here with you, and Jim Langan joining us as he has, well, much of the week this week as kind of a basketball mind here. Jimmy, good to see you.
Thank you, too. Yeah, wasn't that exciting? Some exciting games. How could you – who cares about your bracket? I mean, if you could have Baylor going to win the whole thing, and I had them a long way, yep. But I was a Georgia State fan.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, was that a great game? And watching the coach, you know, he's going to – hey, he was already injured, and, boy, he gave it a heck of a – and I think he had a nurse.
You saw how.
I think a lady was over there, and I was supposed to be his nurse. And, boy, she was watching the game and trying to take care of him, and it was an impossible job.
And you can see how he got hurt, because he gets pretty excited when he watches, especially his son hitting the game-winning shot.
Oh, his boy, yes.
Yeah, you know, and just the excitement you have, and that's really what makes this so much fun. That is really what makes it March Madness. And some great games yesterday. And, again, we don't really need to go through and recap all those, but we are going to talk a lot about the basketball tournament. Doug is not here because he's in Omaha for the four games being played today out in the regional there in Omaha, and we'll be hearing from him here just a little bit. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk a little hockey with the head coach of the first-place team in the West, the Tri-City Storms head coach Jim Holton, and then we'll go back and we'll talk some more basketball at around 11:45 or so with Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network, as he's one of their studio hosts, and will talk to us about the five teams from the Big Ten who will play today and the two that played yesterday. The conference went 1-1 yesterday. A lot of great games. And we were kind of talking before we got on the air that, again, great to talk to a basketball official about their perspective of that goaltending call at the end of the SMU-UCLA game. And you said, not only do you have an opinion, but...
Well, let's be honest about this. First of all, I picked SMU as a sleeper. And I'm going to tell you right now, this has nothing to do with – I couldn't care less about my bracket. I had no money on SMU. Kentucky was going to win the tournament. So, I mean, I'm looking at this as I want the game called correctly. That's what people want. People want the game called correctly. And here's the situation. I feel horrible for the official that made the call. I feel really bad for him because he didn't get to look at it in replay five times, six times, seven times, eight times. Anybody that saw it on replay, here's what you got. And let's face reality. I mean it's clearly two things. It might have been a goaltend, or it clearly was not a goaltend. At no time was this goaltending. So at no time can you look at it and say, oh, that's an automatic goaltending. No one looked at that and looked at it and said, oh, that was an automatic. It was either two things. It was clearly not goaltending, or it might have been. And here's what you got. In a game where there was 40 minutes of basketball played, you don't want to call a might have been. How would you like to call a travel on the Georgia State kid just before he shot the three?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go, not, I think he might have traveled. Might've. So I'm going to call traveling on him, and he's 30 feet away. You don't even let him shoot a shot. No one had a might have been travel on something. No one had a might have been 3 second. No one had a might have been moving screen at that time. You understand what I mean?
I
mean,
yeah.
What
I think you and I are heading to the same thing. My biggest gripe there, and I always said this when I was coaching, if the officials get together, they huddle up and they talk about it, I never complain about a call. With the NCAA tournament, you have the added advantage of having things that you can look at on replay.
Yeah.
What you can't, and here's the here to me, this is the crime here. You can't look at goaltending on replay. That's not a reviewable play. To me, that is completely asinine. We can spend 5 minutes to see whether or not it's a flagrant one or a flagrant two. We can spend 5 minutes to see it, whether or not there's going to be a free throw, 1 point possible advantage because of the foul call being a little bit different. But we can't have a review with a shot with 5 seconds to go in a tournament game whether you're going to give team 3 points or no points. You can't look at that. To me, that's the crime here.
Okay, Jim Joyce had a perfect game. He was umpired a game. Chicago White Sox pitcher had a perfect game. The last batter comes up, hits a ground ball, throw comes in, and he looks at it and he goes, "Hey, I blew this call. I completely blew this. This is the most important call maybe in my career, and I blew it, and I feel horrible about it." And the next day they went out and said, "Hey, here you go, whatever." The thing of it is, the White Sox won the game. The pitcher still got credit for pitching a one-hitter in a nice game, and everybody, you know, he gets all this credit. The problem with this thing is SMU goes home, and UCLA advances.
Yeah, we're done.
You know, I mean, yeah. And
we're done.
You know, and that's why let's say you're reffing the game, and let's say it was goaltending, and you missed the call. Okay, if it was clearly goaltending and you missed the call, you feel bad for missing it. But in this case, when you blow your whistle and you go back on replay, you're hoping that ball's, if you're the referee, you say, "God, I hope that was over about 3 more inches to the left." Or maybe, okay, how many more inches was it? Because you know as well as I do, it's not going to go in.
Well,
that's the thing. The ball was not going to go in the basket. And that's what goaltending's about. The goaltending is about preventing a ball from going into the basket.
But the rule reads having a chance, and that now makes it completely subjective. It has a chance. I didn't think it had a chance.
It didn't have a chance.
Because it was past the rim. The laws of physics aren't going to allow that ball to go in.
Ball, yeah, that's – see, the thing of it is if that ball is in front, that guy shoots that from the top of the key, then it's got a chance to go in. If he's at the top of the key, because that ball can directly hit the rim, it can hit a bang board, it can hit a lot of things. But when, I mean, let's just think about this, Randy. If you shoot an air ball from the corner and it goes beyond and a guy grabs it, it can't go in. But if you shoot an air ball from the top of the key, it can hit the bang board and always go in. So that's unfortunately,
right, yeah.
And that's why in that situation, you don't want to blow your whistle. You'd be better off not blowing your whistle and having play continue and go, "Hey, I might have missed that goaltend. Yeah, I might have missed it." I would much rather might have missed the call by not blowing my whistle than blowing my whistle and calling a might have been. And that's what this is bound, and that's what I'm trying to explain. But I still feel bad for the referee in that situation because it was the first time you saw it, you're going, "Hey, that's really weird. I'm kind of surprised he blew his whistle. God, I hope he got that right." And then the more times you looked at it, you're going, "Boy, you really got to work hard to go, well, because it might have nicked the rim." But like you
say,
the law of physics.
It wasn't going to come backwards.
Hey, what if the offensive player would have grabbed it and dunked it?
Well, if that's goaltending, every alley-oop I've ever seen is goaltending.
There you go. Thank you.
I mean, because, again, it was as far off the rim as that was.
Exactly correct. If they would have called offensive, if they would have thrown up, if that guy would have grabbed that, and then dunked it. Remember the North Carolina State win in the NCAA tournament? Remind me of that shot. And what happened? The player, the SMU defense forced a desperation shot. And, you know, unfortunately, they were rewarded by getting 3 points for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I did think that was the wrong call. Uh-huh. I mean, I can understand how they end up being in that position. But
yes, that's what I think we're talking about, Randy.
Yeah. And again, if they would have huddled it up, if they would have looked at the replay and said, "You know, that's too close, we're going to stick with the original call." If they would have done that, then I always said if the officials get together and they review it, if they huddle up, if they talk about it, I'll never complain about a call. But it's not even reviewable. And that's another thing. And by the way, if you're going to call that a goaltending, then you need to change the letter of the rule and now say if it has the potential of hitting the iron, because that had no chance of going in.
Yeah, there you go.
It might potentially have had the chance of hitting the iron.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, Randy, I think that's the point. I never said that, but listening to you, I mean, if I was on the jury right now and you were the attorney, by saying that really explains it to me too, because that's, I think, what everybody's talking about is – Did that potentially have a chance to nick the rim? Yeah, maybe it did. I mean, that might have been. But did it potentially have a chance at going in? I'm saying no way. And unfortunately, what if the offensive and the defensive player puts him in a tough situation? Because those players have to go up and go get it. And, you know, and the game's played above the rim a little bit in the NCAA. You know, and it's not played. That would never happen in a junior high basketball game.
All right.
We had a little fun with that.
Let's bring Doug in on this, and we'll get his take on this as well, as Doug is in beautiful downtown Omaha at the NCAA basketball tournament. Doug, how you doing?
Well, just getting ready to watch a little Kansas New Mexico State tip off and get things underway.
Yeah, well, congratulations on, you know, good courtside seats. Are you wearing something fluorescent so we can find you when we're watching the game? I want to be able to find you.
Coastal Carolina Blue.
The Chanticleers. I'm surprised you even said the school name without mentioning the mascot.
Well, I brought an orange Chanticleer shirt, but I thought that would be a little too much.
Yeah, maybe so. You had a chance to talk with the Chanticleer coach last night, Cliff Ellis. That was a lot of fun. What else have you been able to do down there?
Well, obviously yesterday was practice day, press conference day, get a few quotes from everybody. So Travis Ford, Oklahoma State, and Bo Ryan, Wisconsin, and Cliff Ellis, Coastal Carolina, who's been at Auburn, he's been at Clemson, has been down the road before. So my question to him was, you know, we've seen this next year Coastal Carolina's been in. They've also got Winthrop and some of the other schools out of the Big South. You know, we keep talking about this. Will this 16 ever upset a one? But will some of these conferences ever get off the 16 line? And that's what I asked Coach Ellis. I said, is the Big South getting to a spot where they can get off this 16-15 line? And he went into a long dissertation talking about how a lot of the teams in the Big South Conference had beaten top five conference teams this year, even guys that were fifth, sixth, and seventh in his conference, like Gardner Webb beating a Purdue, and on and on and on. So it was an interesting little give and take there, but still, they were a 16 last year. They were ahead of Virginia at halftime, and then obviously didn't win the basketball game. So at least they know what it's all about, and maybe more so than some of these other teams that have ever been here or been here once. They know that they can compete at this level.
Yeah, and again, it was somewhat unfortunate. He went. I heard what you were talking about, and he went through a long dissertation about the success that conference had, and it's just kind of a given that they're either going to be a 15 or a 16 seed, and that is somewhat unfortunate, especially for Coastal Carolina, who is more than happy to go for have a series with, say, in Indiana or Wichita State or schools like that, where we'll play at your place if you come play at our place.
Well, that's... We know the story of that, I mean, in all sports. So if you're going to play at that level, there's obviously a lot of bumps in the road to get to where you need to be. But, you know, every once in a while, the committee's got to go, wow, we put the Big South on the 16 line 10 straight years. I mean, come on. You know, once in a while, they're not a 500 team. I mean, they've got decent records. They've shown capabilities. At least give them a chance. At least we know 15s have beaten 2s before. So, you know, get them off that 16 line.
Yeah, give them a shot. Have you got a sense of what kind of reception Dana Altman's going to get when he brings in Oregon tonight?
It's been pretty good. I mean, good reception yesterday. And as I was coming to the arena today, the Oregon team was making their way across the street. I don't know if they were specifically coming here or going to get some breakfast, but you could see them all out and about. And everybody's kind of right downtown here. So huge reception. There's no reason for anybody, I don't think, to have any negative ill will in this part of the country against Dana Altman.
Well, I think a year or two out, he came back and actually played against Creighton a year or two after he left, and I think he got booed then, but I think the wounds have kind of healed over the last few years. There was a great article in the Oregonian today about his reception as well. Have you heard much from the folks from Wichita State, hoping that they can get past Indiana so they get a shot at their big brothers from Kansas in the second round?
Yeah, I ran into some Wichita State folks last night. I think they're well represented. You can see some here in the crowd today. That's kind of the cool thing. I guess if you watch on TV, you can see, you'll go, well, why is that section down by the floor open? Why are there no fans in those first, you know, right at midcourt? Well, when you have Wichita State and Kansas, you can have a ticket to this session and watch both of the teams. But if you're Indiana and you don't really care about this game, you're going to see maybe like that Indiana fan section a little open. Well, it should be a little bit better here with Wichita State and Kansas. And there are a lot of people that believe Wichita State can be playing next weekend and not just Shocker fans.
Yeah, I mean, especially after what they had last year, and they underachieved last year. I think that's...
What'd you do? Did you send Jimmy home? Did he leave?
No,
he
I know. He's watching basketball. He's reading papers.
No, I'm right here, bud. Hey, you know, Ohio State's win... yesterday was what I thought was interesting, Doug, but I guess what I really felt was, what in the heck is going to go on with the Big 12 with Iowa State losing to UAB? I thought that was a huge loss. And your thoughts on the conference? I mean, you know, would they talk about they talk about the 14 seeds winning? Well, who did they beat? They beat Big 12 teams that were 3 seeds.
Well, no doubt about it, and we kind of agreed, and at least one of the very early observations I had Monday was that Oklahoma was overseeded, and they were a number 3. And if they struggle today, I think that really shows you something. You'll have Kansas here, and not a lot of people, but we talked about it briefly yesterday. New Mexico State has a little athleticism that can keep this game competitive. Even Jay Billis said this morning that he would not be surprised if this is a ball game in the last 5 minutes here this afternoon in Omaha, so we'll see. But as far as Baylor and Iowa State, I guess it gets me to my theme that I kind of wanted to bring up with you guys this morning, all these one-point games. But of the 16 games yesterday, there was just a couple of blowouts, and all these close games finish. As I watched some of these when I got here, some of listening on the radio to the SMU debacle and a couple of and the way Iowa State finished out, basically I think all but one of these teams was the that lost, they all had significant leads late in the ball game, and they just tightened up, froze, quit playing basketball, committed turnovers, missed free throws. I mean, it's like they lost their minds in the last 3 minutes, like in that Georgia State Baylor game. I mean, what happened is like the pressure of the NCAA tournament, and I don't know that we've seen that on such a mass level in a number of years. It can happen from time to time, but it seemed like every one of those teams was playing with a piano on their back in the last 3 minutes.
A great point. Absolutely a great point. Even the Arkansas, is it Wofford? I don't know how to say that correctly.
I think Wofford.
Even that game, Wofford had a chance to tie that because Arkansas set on it. So that would have really got your point. And then North Carolina and Harvard, where North Carolina hung on and won 67-65. But like you said, those two teams, they dodged the bullet, but there were numerous times where people did not dodge the bullet. What about the layup the kid from Cincinnati hit with about 0.2 seconds? He got the ball out of the hand. The ball rolled around every possible direction of the rim before it fell down and went in. And then they go on and win. So,
well, and Purdue missed how many free throws in a row there? 4? I think it was 3 or 4 that they missed in a row that could have won the basketball game for them. And then yesterday, the Baylor kid that went to the line, the last kid that went to the line for Baylor, was an 83% free throw shooter, missed the front end of the one-on-one that allowed Georgia State to get the last shot. And let's face it, that was a miracle shot. That just shows you that Georgia State had a little pixie magic NCAA dust sprinkled on him, because a kid could shoot that 10 times and probably make it twice. But it didn't matter. He made it yesterday.
With the media, is there a game from yesterday that they're talking about more than any other? The goaltending call, maybe?
I guess we were watching. When I got here after the show yesterday, we were down to the last 3 or 4 teams. Oregon had just finished up, so we're in that 4 to 6 o'clock time frame. So the Ohio State game was one of them that went down the stretch there that I guess we were all kind of watching. My thoughts on that goaltending call, and again, we don't put down and we don't run over the high school kids, and we talk about and make fun of pros. That college is a tweener. They're still trying, you know, they're trying to do their best, but it's just a bonehead play by the kid from LSU. LSU should have won that basketball game. And what are you doing? He wasn't going up for the rebound. If he was going up for the rebound, he'd have been going up strong with 2 hands. What are you doing? What are you doing? You don't even have to do what he did. And I don't know. That's my thoughts on that.
here's the thing I didn't like about the SMU situation in with UCLA was the fact that when you don't want to call might have beens. You know, we talked about that. I've been on the show for 3 years now, and I've told you, I said, as official, you don't want to call the might have beens. I mean, what if they call traveling on the Georgia State kid before he shoots the three? I was mentioning that on the show beforehand, and that's the trouble with the goaltending call is you called a might have been. You didn't call a clear goaltending call. If I don't care what the kid does. I mean, if he clearly goaltends, then great, clearly call it. That's what the goaltending rule's for. Goaltending's kind of like 3 seconds. You know, it's got to be clearly so obvious that that's why you blow your whistle. Those guys played for 40 minutes, and you're going to call that with 20 seconds on the clock? It's got to be clearly goaltending. It can't be a might have been.
I think that's one of those where you're just programmed. You're programmed as an official, and it just like, whoa, what was that? And you blew your whistle, and you didn't realize where you were maybe in the game. But whether it was or wasn't, it just wasn't a very intelligent play defensively. And you should have never been in that position to begin with. It's unfortunate. And the thing about it, too, Jimmy and Randy, is just weird. Something you've never seen before.
Yeah, it was. I've never seen a game finish like that. I'm sure in the history of basketball it has, but I don't recall it ever, especially not on that stage.
Well, you know, I mean, let's say a guy shoots a 75-footer, Doug. At the last play of the game, it's a 75-footer, all right? And he fires that thing, and it's in the air, and some kid takes his hand and puts it over the rim and goaltends it or knocks it away. That's clearly stupidity. I don't agree with you. I think this kid maybe made a bad play, but it wasn't as bad as you're making it sound. He was going after the ball. He was going to try to get it so somebody else can't do an alley-oop slam dunk. I've seen that play numerous times where the offense grabs it and slams it in and there's no call. Have you seen that where the ball's that close to the rim and an offensive player grabs it and slams it on?
I heard what you were saying earlier, and there's definitely some validity to that point. I wouldn't know how to argue that one way or another because you can't say, we'll just box the guy out so he doesn't come in because of the athleticism. Guys can jump over guys and grab it. Yeah, you've got a valid point. I got no argument with that one.
Yeah, I thought you made some great points, too, when you were talking about that the referees are programmed. God, what the heck just happened? I don't know what I got to do. I got to blow my whistle here because you can ref 4 or 5 games and you may not call a goaltending. And then all of a sudden, there is one. Yep, and now, so it's not something you get to see all the time. It's kind of like a balk in baseball. You go, oh, what happened right here? I'm going to have to call a balk. And everybody goes, well, what did he really do? Well, I'm not for sure, but it was really weird.
Something was wrong there.
Yeah.
Something was wrong there.
Good point, Doug.
All right, what else is going on there, Doug? What else do you need to throw our way?
Well, one thing I wanted to point out, I got two things. Let's talk about the Kansas-New Mexico State game, which is underway. New Mexico State has their starting lineup from France, Cameroon, South Africa, Ontario, and Washington, D.C., so no Americans. And then Kansas – oh, wait a minute. A lot of people think Washington, D.C. has nothing to – okay, sorry about that.
They're not a state.
But, guys, what about the teams that did look good yesterday? They have been already overshadowed. You take Kentucky for granted, and then Villanova comes out, and what do you do about these 116s? That's fine. They look good, though. Arizona looked good. Georgetown and Utah both closed out. They'll face each other. So a lot of people that kind of thought Georgetown might be one that goes home early looked okay. Xavier, man, they really handled the Ole Miss yesterday. So I thought they looked good. And Butler, even though Texas made a run at them, Butler finished it. I don't think that was the prettiest game of the day. But there were a handful of teams yesterday that came out and looked good enough that they might play well again tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, the two you hit, Villanova and Xavier, were the two that I saw. It was Villanova and Xavier. And I would have gave Butler credit. I'd have gave Butler credit for their win. But guess who they beat? They beat a Texas team that's in what conference?
Sorry, Big 12. Rough day for you.
Big 12. So, you know, what I'm saying is I can't give them a whole lot of credit compared to Xavier beating Ole Miss as bad as they did. If Kentucky would have beat Ole Miss by 20 points, everybody had been talking about how good Kentucky is. So Xavier was the one that really stepped it up. They had 13 losses going into the tournament. I thought that was an amazing feat that they beat him that bad.
Well, and then you look at what's going on today. Is Kansas the only only legit favorite, Oklahoma State, taking on Oregon. I can't see them being a big favorite. I mean, Oregon's the favorite in that basketball game. So Oklahoma will be a big favorite over Albany. But they took their hits yesterday, and then let's see what happens to the state of Iowa today after Iowa State went down. Iowa and Northern Iowa go today.
I will point out that the state of Nebraska won just as many games yesterday as the state of Texas. I just want to throw that out there right now.
0-5. 0-5.
See, in a way, we actually, Nebraska came out better because, you know, we didn't lose five games yesterday. Texas did, but we didn't.
I told a buddy of mine yesterday, Nebraska now can, you know how they have to schedule all these South Carolina upstates and the Incarnate Words? They have to cross Georgia State off possible future scheduling because they can beat Baylor.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I'll tell you what, it was an exciting day of the NCAA tournament, though, because and they kind of made the point there maybe weren't that many great games, but there were a lot of close games. And I think that's what the tournament's about. And we talked yesterday about there's really not that much difference, except it looks to me like maybe the number one seeds and the two seeds might clearly be the best. We'll have to find out if that's true, if the one and twos just dominate this thing, and that's what we're going to be seeing at the end of the tournament.
Well, I'm not crushed. I'll leave you with this. All these people every year on day one, oh, my bracket is crushed. Well, if you really had Iowa State in the Final Four and you really had Baylor in the Final Four, you probably weren't going to have a good bracket anyway. I'm guessing, yeah, you may have lost some first-round games, but a lot of people still have their Final Four intact. Unfortunately, Jimmy, it was for our brackets, we kind of smiled when UAB beat Iowa State, but then SMU gave it right back and took away our advantage.
Yeah, and you know what? They weren't going to do anything. I could tell by the way they were playing that SMU, that was a bad selection. I just thought maybe they'd catch on. It's too bad that Larry Brown was sick. I mean, I don't know if you heard anything about that, but he was absolutely sick, and they almost had to leave the game because of flu symptoms.
All right, buddies. Well, you have fun there at Cunningham's. I'm going to run around here and watch some more basketball.
All right, Doug, enjoy yourself and get a little work in from time to time, all right?
I'll think about it.
All right, thanks. Doug Duda, who's out in Omaha, right now watching the New Mexico State-Kansas game. Kansas right now with a 15-7 lead with about 13.5 to go. By the way, if you filled out our Bud Light Bracket Challenge brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, you, of course, know the first prize is a 49-inch LG LED TV from Russell's Appliance and Electronics. Plus, there's over 30 gift cards, or almost 30 gift cards, from Cunningham's, ranging from $15 all the way up to the $100 gift card that they'll have. And after day one, we do have six players who had 14, got 14 of the 16 games right yesterday. Some of them have the possibility of getting all the way up to 190 total points. That would be Johnny Gogo. Also in that list of getting 14 points is A. Roberts, 33. Is This All Mine? Kid R, 44. Sad Husker might be in a little bit better mood today because he's in that bracket as well. And Dylan, not just Dylan, but Dylan. Has 14 as well. 17 others, including our own Big Daddy Tony Davis, has 13 points. Over 50 have 12 points in the contest so far. And then there's people like me who have 8. So we got a long ways to go. And, of course, our Bud Light Bracket Challenge brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Don't forget to come on out here to Cunningham's. Check out the games all day today, all day on Saturday and on Sunday. Great dinner specials, great food off the menu. They still have their big ass beers. They'll have some drink specials for you throughout the course of where everything's going. Plus, TVs everywhere. And tomorrow and even today, I think it'll be nice enough that you can kind of go out to the courtyard where there's a TV out there. You can check out all the action of both March Madness as well as go out to the courtyard, get a little bit quieter out there. You can go up to a loft if things get a little bit too hectic in here. There's basically three bars in one here at Cunningham's Journal. Come on out and join us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with the head coach of the first place team in the Western Conference of the USHL. We'll talk with the Storm's Jim Holton right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now on America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies will stay with us as we head through the day today with highs up in the mid-70s. Winds out of the west, meanwhile, stay at about 10 to 15. For tonight, with mostly clear skies, we'll head down to 38 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley. Right now, it's 52.
And welcome back here to Cunningham Journal for the Doug and Daddy Show. Glad you could join us. And, of course, March Madness means, well, the irrigation season is right around the corner. It is fast approaching. And find out why so many growers are moving to T&L hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, plus the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons. Contact your T&L or your local T&L dealer or visit their website at TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com to learn out why T&L irrigation systems are like no other. Of course, you can control your entire system from your smartphone. You can use it to follow your brackets for the NCAA tournament. You can also take care of your fields thanks to all the work that they do at T&L Irrigation. Again, check them out online at TLIRR.com. And also, if you hit the internet, you might be able to find out that the team on top of the USHL Western Division, only a point out of first place overall in the USHL, is the Tri-City Storm. Kind enough to join us to talk about that is the head coach of the first place Tri-City Storm, Jim Holton. That feels good to say. I don't know how it feels to hear, but it feels good to say after all these years. Good morning.
Well, it's got a nice ring to it, and it's really nice for our players, our fans, and our owners, and in particular the fans that have stuck by us thick and thin through a number of years and some lean time. So it's nice to see the excitement in the town.
You've been around for about 14 months now. What is different with this team now than when you found it, dating back to November of, 2013 when you came in?
Well, I think the biggest difference from my end is just the camaraderie and the belief within the room. This has been a really tight-knit group right from day one. A credit to our leaders. You know, our captain, Garrett Gammas, is a pretty unique individual that has the ability to rally all types of people around him. And right from day one, it's been a togetherness that that isn't necessarily common in junior hockey teams. And just their belief in each other has grown over the course of the season. And that's very gratifying to see.
Gomez the other night had dished out four assists. Wilkie had a huge game. You guys played extremely well as you guys had both the forward and defenseman of the week as Chris Wilkie and Troy Dello been recognized by the USHL. Wilkie, forward of the week. 7 points on 2 goals, 5 assists in the team's 3 games last week. Dello was defenseman of the week as he got a couple of goals, including the game winner against Omaha on Saturday night. With that, you guys move into first place by a point. I mean, things just can't really be going a whole lot better, knock on wood. Let's not jinx it.
No, it's been a terrific second half, really, since we come back after the break and stubbed our toe a little bit in Sioux Falls around the New Year's. But after that, it's been a huge turning point, and we've really taken off. And our consistency has been very impressive, as has been our depth. You know, ironically, we're in first place. This is the first time Wilkie's been a player of the week. First time we've had a lot of individual recognition, which is kind of good. We really pride ourselves in being a team. We don't have anybody in the top 15 in the league in scoring. It's really been by committee, and that's what great teams do, and we're on the brink of being a great team.
And it was kind of interesting. There was a stretch there where you guys were winning when you had that great winning streak, but Sioux City kept winning right with you. So you're winning all, you're winning all the time. Can't make up any ground. Last week you go 1-1. Last weekend you go 1-1, and you pull into first place.
Yeah, it's ironic. You know, we were both so red hot for a long time, as well as Omaha, and you couldn't make up any ground. It was like you had to win just to stay even and keep pace. But I think the turning point for us was hosting Sioux City in here a couple weeks ago. We won both games, one in overtime, the other one in regulation, knowing full well that they had two really difficult weekends coming up with Muskegon and Youngstown, and that was our window of opportunity, and fortunately we jumped through it.
You're in the middle of a stretch right now where you're playing either 9 of 10 or 11 of 12 games, depending on how you want to look at it, because both those things are true. And you also have the best record at home in the USHL. You're 19-4-2 at home. How important is this stretch right now, this home stretch, for you guys doing the things that you want to do?
Well, it's huge. If we want to end up in first place and give ourselves a chance to contend for the Anderson Cup, we have to make hay when the sun shines, and we have to do it at home. We've done a terrific job all season, but we can't stub our toe here, especially these next four when we're looking at teams that are below us in the standings, because these could be trap games. So we have to make sure that we keep our eye on the prize ahead of us and stay focused on the day-to-day task.
In the race for the Anderson Cup, well, first of all, you're ahead of Sioux City by a point. You have played one less game, so you have more opportunities to get points. You're trailing Youngstown by a point. They're leading out in the East, but they played one fewer game than you have, so that's kind of the update with that. How important is the Anderson Cup? Is that a team goal going in, or is it now that it's here, we want to go get it?
I think it's more now that it's here. I mean, that's kind of cherry on the top if you win the Anderson Cup, because our real goal is to win the Clark Cup. I mean, if you look at it, regular season dominance is one thing, but we want to have playoff excellence, so... But when you get this close with eight games left and you're knocking on the door to win it, it would be nice, again, mostly for our fans, just a recognition for what they've done for us and to be able to hang a banner and build a bit of a legacy for this group of kids that have played so hard.
And again, watching them skate has been an absolute joy. But let's talk between the pipes. You kind of have a unique situation where a guy that's actually played less has a better save percentage than the guy that's played more. And obviously you need a little depth between now and all the way through the Clark Cup playoffs. Talk a little bit about where you are in that.
Well, we're in a great spot, and when we went out and acquired Jared Rettledge, we wanted a veteran that we could put into some different circumstances, some difficult circumstances, and again, he's got playoff experience, he's got Division I college experience. Did we think he was going to be to the extent that he has been? Probably not, but it's a wonderful situation. Case in point this week, Alec Dillon had been sick with a stomach flu for a couple of days. Had you had an inexperienced backup, you'd be a little bit leery going into this weekend, but we don't even bat an eyelash. We don't even miss a beat because we know Jared's going to go in there tonight and possibly tomorrow night, but we have the utmost confidence in both guys, and that's a rarity at any level of hockey.
You kind of talk about Rettledge and the experience that he has. Other side of the scale is you use one of your affiliates coming up from the high school ranks coming up this week. Talk a little bit about that process and what Cameron Dineen brings for you guys down the stretch.
Well, Cameron was our first-round pick in last year's Futures draft, and he had an excellent season, just came off being named an All-Star in his league, Rookie of the Year in his league. This is a kid with a ton of potential, and similar to what we did last year with guys like Jake Wallen and Matthew Freitag, bring them in right now to serve a little bit of an apprenticeship, get used to the community, get used to the fan base, get used to our building, get used to our systems. Just makes them have a leg up next year, and I think the proof was in the pudding with how well Wallen and Freitag have done with their experiences last year. So we're going to ease Cameron into it. We're going to get him into one of these games this weekend and kind of see what he has. But we're very excited because it's a big piece of our future.
When we, as we're talking about players, Matthias Goransson made a little bit of noise this week. Not only is he going to stick around the U.S., but he's going to play a little collegiate hockey for Massachusetts Lowell. I remember the Riverhawks. I couldn't remember the school name. Talk a little bit about his decision. And again, it's all about getting those scholarships for these players. And obviously they want to win a title as well. But that's just another indication you guys are bringing in some pretty good talent.
Well, you're right. Because, I mean, as much as we talk about team, the team's comprised of individuals that all have separate and unique goals. And one of Granson's goals coming over here was to get a scholarship. And a big sacrifice when you leave Sweden to come to the U.S. But really excited for him. He had a number of opportunities. UMass Lowell is a team that been on him right from the start. He had a visit there a couple weeks ago, really liked what he saw. the great news for us is not only does he get a scholarship, but it means that he has one more year to play with us, which is exciting for all of us. And he's going to be a big, big piece of our future next year. And we're just thrilled that now he can map out his next 5 years.
Let's talk a little bit about Des Moines tonight and tomorrow night at the Vero Event Center. They have playoff dreams as well. They're on the outside looking in, so they're going to be a pretty hungry hockey team.
They're going to be a very hungry hockey team. And we talked about it with our club yesterday at practice, and we'll readdress it again tonight. Again, this is going to be a playoff-style game because Des Moines can't afford to lose anymore. They're sitting back in fifth place right now, but within striking distance of Sioux Falls. So we have to be prepared again, throw at the standings tonight. We just have to make sure we come with our A game and expect their best game.
And a lot going on. Jared Chaffron also joining us, the voice of the Storm. There are always promotional events going on. What's going on this weekend?
Yeah, we've got a lot of exciting things. Not only does the team have a chance to clinch a playoff spot, but also you're looking at Friday night is health and hockey night tonight. And fans are going to be given a Storm water bottle when they come into the doors. That's sponsored by CHI, Good Health. And, it's a really good chance for people to have a lot of activities going on the concourse, get your kids out to the game, different chance to experience some other sides of the health in hockey initiative that we've got going on. Also, tomorrow night is a big night as well. We're going to wear specialty jerseys against Des Moines as Concrete Cares Night, and it's presented by Kearney Concrete. It's going to be a special jersey. It's actually the jersey we unveiled it a couple days back. It's got some purple flames on it, so it's a little bit different. Fans are going to have a chance to bid on those on eBay after the game is over, and a really good chance to donate some money to Kearney Concrete, Concrete Cares. And what they do is they actually give money to people who already have cancer, to people who need money to battle that disease, people who are already affected by the disease. And it's going to be a really good two games of hockey.
It's very similar to what Kearney Tackles Cancer does with their money as well, and Good Samaritan CHI Health with the water bottle tonight as well. Fargo again next week, and you kind of mentioned making hay while you kind of have the hay to be made there because they're a little bit lower down. When we take a look at the next four games, what would be a point total that you think is a good series of hockey the next couple of weekends at home?
Well, a minimum of 6 points, so that would be 3 wins of the four. And really, at this time of the year, it's a bit getting greedy. And with our home record and four teams under us, not to underestimate anybody, but as a group, we want 4 wins. We really want to run this out at home ice and establish a dominance so that if and when we lock up home ice, it's almost like our record can be a bit of an intimidating factor for someone coming in the playoffs.
Well, the best record in the USHL at home, why not? Let's go get them. Coach, appreciate time, Jim.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Jared, good to see you again.
Thanks.
That's a little Storm hockey for you here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Big Ten basketball as 5 teams from the Big Ten Conference will be coming up. We'll talk with Big Ten Network studio host Dave Revson as we continue the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
A big Buffalo County fair welcome to Alabama.
If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man.
Coming to the Buffalo County Fair on July 24th, the legendary Alabama. Alabama's 40-year career has produced 43 number one singles, including 21 number one hits in a row.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh,
Alabama's music continues to reach country fans of all generations.
I'm guilty of loving the first degree. Songs.
Tickets range from $40 to $75 plus fees. Get your tickets now at etix.com. That's ETIX.com. Alabama, Friday, July 24th at the Buffalo County Fair.
Life doesn't stop when you've got a big event like graduation. It just makes you busier. Copycat Printing in Kearney understands. Their talented design staff will create a unique, one-of-a-kind invite just for you. They'll design it, create it, and deliver your invitations. So relax. Copycat Printing in Kearney will make your invitation a priority, so you don't have to. Visit KearneyCopycat.com and like Copycat Printing on Facebook for great printing discounts.
NNC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NNC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments.
Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Oh, you don't know me, but you make me so happy.
And welcome back here to the Doug and Daddy Show. We're here at Cunningham's. We're obviously spending a lot of attention with the NCAA basketball tournament. Right now, Kansas is leading New Mexico 26-16. About 5:40 to go as they're in the first half out in Omaha. And if you're driving around Hastings, it's time to maybe grab a little bit of lunch. Head on out to Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches. Two locations to serve you, 610 East South Street in Hastings, and reopening at the end of, well, they're already reopened in downtown Hastings on West 2nd Street. All the sandwiches served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun, cheese, fresh veggies, condiments, dill pickle spear on the side. Great side items like potato salad, fruit cups. Big Daly's Deli also offers a meat and cheese tray and 2-foot-long sandwiches that are great for special events like, I don't know, watching NCAA basketball. Call ahead for current pricing and special orders. Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion to one sandwiches, because too many is better than not enough. And that certainly is the strategy for Big Ten basketball, as they had two teams in action yesterday. They'll have five more today. And kind enough to join us to talk about that is the Big Ten studio host, Dave Revson, who knows all things basketball, football, been there since they opened the doors. Dave, this is Randy Bushcutter, Jim Lang, and joining us here as well. Thanks so much for taking some time and joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, Randy. Hey, Jim. How are you guys?
We're doing very, very well. The conference had an okay day yesterday, went 1-1 yesterday. What do you think the outlook looks like today for the Big Ten?
You know, a lot of interesting matchups. I think part of the challenge for the Big Ten this year is, yes, they got seven teams in, which tied for most of any league. But if you look a little deeper, the seedings aren't where they typically are. I mean, aside from Wisconsin being a one, the next best seed is Maryland, who got a four, and they were unfortunate enough to get a four in the same region that Kentucky's in. So, you know, that's not necessarily a great seeding. I thought they deserved a three to begin with, and I certainly thought they deserved the opportunity to avoid the best team in the tournament beyond the third round. So, and then, you know, there are a lot of teams in toss-up games. I mean, Purdue was in a toss-up game yesterday and kind of let it slip away. I think we're going to see some more teams in toss-up games today. So this is a tournament that, yes, there are a lot of teams in from the league, but I wouldn't be shocked if the numbers are significantly down once we get through this weekend.
Yeah, hey, I agree with you completely about the seeding there. I thought Michigan State, being a 7 seed, I thought that was I thought they could have been a 5 or a 6 even, you know, the way they competed in the tournament. And, you know, they get to play Virginia then right off that. So, you know, if you're talking about Kentucky and Virginia being the best two teams in the nation, which is a possibility, they don't get to go very far. Like you say, Maryland's going to play Kentucky early, and Michigan State, if they get by Georgia, will have to probably play Virginia early.
Yeah, I'll say this, and it's early on in this game, so who knows? Michigan State doesn't look so great early on against Georgia. But honestly, Jim, I'd rather be a 7 where Michigan State is than be a 4 where Maryland is. I really would. I mean, I look at that East, and I think it's wide open. Villanova looked really good yesterday, and I might be underestimating them slightly. As I've watched them this year, look, they're a really good, complete team, but I definitely think they're a team that is beatable. Virginia is certainly a team that's beatable. Every game against them is going to be a close game. They're not going to blow elite teams out because of the way that they play, and that style of play is something that Michigan State would be familiar with in the Big Ten. So I think if you look through that East, I think they have as good a shot as almost anyone of getting through. That being said, you know, again, they're down 6 points early, so they get through today, maybe that'll be an accomplishment.
I was going to say a great point. It was almost at the time when the UConn women we're dominating the NCAA Women's Championship. When you looked at your bracket immediately, you thought, hey, how far are we away from UConn? Because we'll take on anybody else, and Kentucky might be that good this year.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, your primary goal is to avoid them until as late as possible in the tournament. And that's why Wisconsin did catch a break in ending up as a one seed, because the talk was that had they ended up as a two, they would have been in the same region due to the geography, which I don't think would have made a whole lot of sense. So fortuitous for Wisconsin to end up as a one. I think Arizona's a very challenging team for them in that region. If we end up with that as being the Elite Eight game in the West, I don't think that's a great matchup for them either, but it's certainly a much better matchup than facing Kentucky.
Speaking with Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network, and Dave, we kind of mentioned that some tough matchups in the second, maybe third round for the teams of the Big Ten. There's seven teams in there, yes, but again, they're kind of the bracket isn't really looking great for them. Is that an indication that maybe the respect for the Big Ten isn't as high this year as was, say, last year?
I think the answer to that is yes, and I think it's justified. I mean, these things are all cyclical, and it just wasn't as good a year, Randy. It wasn't as good as either of the past 2 years, where I think in the regular season the Big Ten was the best league in the country. And I think if you're going to kind of toot your own horn and say it was the best regular season league in the country for a couple of years, then in the years that it's not, I think you have to be honest and say it wasn't. I think it was what getting seven teams into the tournament showed. This is a very representative league. I mean, that's half the league getting into the NCAA tournament. That tells you there are a lot of good teams. But the fact that there's only one team seeded higher than a four tells you there aren't many great teams. And I think that was fairly reflective of what the league was this year.
Dave, that's a great point. And I agree totally. And I think what the group that's going to be in trouble next year looks like right now is going to be the Big 12 after their couple losses to 14 seeds and the way that league has struggled. And they wanted to talk about, you know, the Big 12 basketball is up and coming. But I'll tell you what, I think the Southeastern Conference and the ACC right now, and even the Pac-10, if they make a move here with, like you say, an Arizona and a UCLA and some people advance, you know, maybe they're going to have those bragging rights. I was going to change the topic real quick about baseball and the Big Ten baseball. Do you see anybody prominently last year? You know, we had Indiana. Do you see anybody stepping up and making a big move here in maybe a ranked top 10 team?
I got to be brutally honest with you. I don't follow it at all. I don't cover the Big Ten baseball. So, okay. I mean, I certainly know Indiana's had a great run, but my job is football and basketball, and that's all it is. So I couldn't handicap the race for you in any way.
Okay, thank you.
Dave, let's come back to basketball a little bit. Obviously, a team not in there that we're interested in would be the University of Nebraska. This is the first time, really, that Coach Miles has not had a team improve on him in all of his stops when he's been coaching. Where do you kind of see the status of Nebraska basketball, both within the conference and the national brand, moving forward?
Well, I think last year it was such an exciting year, Randy. I mean, it was so much fun, right? And they kind of caught lightning in a bottle, and they had some guys have really outstanding years, and they had the energy of the new building, and all of that stuff coalesced, and it turned into an incredibly memorable year. But I think the truth of the matter is we are still talking about a program that's never won an NCAA tournament game, and you just don't turn it around in 2 or 3 years. It's just not realistic. It's a 5 or a 6 year process of getting a program where you want it to be. Part of it is facilities. They absolutely have that in place. The new practice facility is gorgeous. The new arena is perfect. Part of it is coaching. They have that in place. They have a really good coach in Tim Miles. The other part of the equation, obviously, is players. And they're just not very deep right now. I mean, it was essentially a two-man team. I think they have some guys who are promising. I like the way Terren Smith played down the stretch this year. I think he's part of the answer at point guard. I think he's a Big Ten point guard. I think there were, you know, some other young guys that showed flashes here and there. I thought Fuller, you know, came in and had a couple of games where you saw, okay, this is a guy who can probably play at this level. But it's going to take, you know, he's got a really good recruiting class with a couple of talented guys coming in from Chicago, who I've been able to follow a little bit in, you know, just being here and watching the high school careers. Those guys are going to help an awful lot. But I just don't think it's reasonable to expect that it was going to be turned around as quickly as people wanted it to be. I think last year was a taste of what could be out there in the years to come, but I also think you just have to be realistic and say it's not a program with a lot of tradition. It doesn't happen overnight.
Talking with Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network. Last question for you, Dave. Obviously, and you started going down this path a little bit. Obviously, Wisconsin, being the one seed, again, you kind of like their bracket, kind of where they're at. Outside of that, who you kind of see as maybe that team that can maybe catch lightning in a bottle and be playing on Saturday or Sunday of next week?
Well, to me, there's a couple possibilities. Michigan State is the one, again, as we talk about, I don't think their bracket is all that strong. I think the East is the most wide-open region. There are a lot of good teams. I don't think there are too many great teams in the East. It's tough to lean on Iowa too much. I mean, we're talking about a program that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in more than a decade. They didn't play well at all in the Big Ten tournament, but they certainly were playing really well down the stretch. I think they have two games that are, these first two, if they were to get past Davidson and play Gonzaga, I think the style of play will be conducive to what they want to do. You know, they like to get up and down. That region's, that portion of the region has already opened up a little bit with Iowa State losing. So I potentially could see Iowa making a run. I don't feel as good about them right now as I did 7 days ago, but I still think this is a team that if everything fell right, maybe could find themselves certainly playing next weekend.
Yeah. Well, Dave, hey, appreciate the time. It's always great to hear from you. And we'll do this again when we get a little bit closer to football season. We can, you know, we'll keep rolling along.
Sounds good. Thanks, Randy. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Dave. That's Dave Revson, studio host for the Big Ten Network. Been there about 7 years now as the Big Ten Network got going. And other conferences have kind of emulated that as well, but a lot of success there with the Big Ten Network. Don't forget the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge. People checking out their brackets here. Come on out to Cunningham's Journal all weekend long. Check out all their big screens to follow the game. Don't forget that our first prize of our contest is a 49-inch LG LED TV from Russell's Appliance and Electronics. We have about 30 gift cards from Cunningham's, including a $100 gift card, a slew of $15 gift cards that we're going to be giving away. And again, great food on the menu. They'll have the loft open upstairs. I'm sure they'll be, it's getting pretty warm out already. I think the courtyard will get a fair amount of business this afternoon and into tomorrow. Come on and check out all the tournament games here at Cunningham's Journal. We're going to take one last break. We're going to wrap it up here from Cunningham's on the Doug and Daddy Show. We come back right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Go on a Jurassic Quest, the largest and most realistic dinosaur event in North America. Experience the sights and sounds of living, breathing, even walking dinosaurs. Be awestruck by over 50 life-size dinosaurs. Witness the massive, ferocious animatronic T-Rex and the 40-foot Apatosaurus. Walk among Velociraptors, the huge Utah Raptors, and Chicanotosaurus. This event has more than doubled in size. With more huge dinosaurs and brand new activities, come see the biggest T-Rex ever found on the planet. Then see a feathered giant 20 feet tall standing behind you with 18-inch blades for claws. There are tons of brand new activities like bungee pole, dino science stations, scooters, inflatables, and more. Ride on a 15-foot T-Rex. Uncover gigantic T-Rex and Triceratops fossils. But be careful, there are roaring dinosaurs walking around. Jurassic Quest is where the big dinosaurs live. For the first time ever, at Pinnacle Bank Expo Center, Fauner Park, Grand Island, this Friday through Sunday. Get ticket info at JurassicQuest.com.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
At Sapp Brothers Store in Odessa, we have this thing some like to obsess a little about,
It's called customer service and quality. Come see the gifts galore, from ceramic dolls to purses, clothes, tools, electronics, art, and decor, all located inside Sapp Brothers, located on I-80 in Odessa. Check out the monthly specials and the cleanest restrooms on I-80. So clean, they're mom approved. Sapp Brothers. You don't have to drive a truck to stop at Sapp Brothers Travel Center.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
And welcome back here to Cunningham's Journal, the Midway Chevrolet broadcast booth on the road. And don't forget that not only is it March Madness, it's also Ram Truck Month happening on right now. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Stop in and check out their full lineup of Ram 1500, 2500, and 3500 trucks located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Great deals happening at Chrysler Dodge Jeep's award season event. Stop by on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or visit ThinkMidway.com. That's ThinkMidway.com, and see up-to-the-date, hassle-free pricing. Get it all checked out. Be ready for anything and everything. Claim victory against some of the toughest winters or muddy springs. Hopefully we'll have some muddy springs coming up with some rain here with a brand-new Jeep. Stop in at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and check out their full lineup of Jeeps, from the most awarded Grand Cherokee to the best-priced SUV in America, the Jeep Patriot. They surely have a Jeep that will fit your lifestyle, and with over 150 pre-owned vehicles in stock, Midway is sure to have the vehicle you're looking for at any price range. If you're getting the sense that they got a lot to offer, that's exactly the case at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and thinkmidway.com. Check out their full inventory at thinkmidway.com. And things starting to heat up a little bit with some of these basketball games. Right now, Kansas is at halftime, fairly comfortable lead against New Mexico State. Georgia and Michigan State, last I saw, was tied 14-14. And again, you can check out all the games going on here at Cunningham's Journal. And Jimmy, what do you think of the way they do it now, that they have games on four networks? And you have to find True TV somewhere, but it's the only time I ever use it all year. But I really like the idea that all the games, the whole games, are on, instead of trying to cram them all on one network and you just get bits and pieces.
Oh, I love it. You know, I mean, in fact, you know, if we could have another TV and make it work, I'd be fine.
Anybody, have a fifth one.
Anybody that goes to simulcast horse racing and they got eight tracks, you're upset because they don't have 10 going. You know what I mean? And you look up there and you get to bed about every 6 minutes because there's a different race going, or you got three going at the same time and you're checking it out. And I mean, if you like sports, that's what you want. I mean, in Major League Baseball, it'd be nice to have three or four games on at the same time, and you know what? That's what happens. So if you go to the right sports bar, you can do that.
Yeah. And that's certainly here at Cunningham, certainly is the right sports bar for that, because they have all the games on, and in fact, multiple locations, even on the same wall here at Cunningham's on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. How is your bracket doing, by the way?
Oh, it's done. It's complete. I mean, you had to take a stand. If you pick Kentucky to win it, then you had all your other people had to win, because 80% of the people are going to pick Kentucky.
Right.
If you know, you could take a stand going the other way. You could have picked some other sleepers. You could have gone with all the other number one seeds and then get Kentucky beat out there a little earlier, and you'd have a chance that way. So, or, you know, so there's two ways to play it, and I did it with some teams, and I got two of my major teams got beat by 1 point last night, so yeah.
And going back to your point, yep, Everybody picking Kentucky, five of the six that are currently in first place of our Bud Light Bracket Contest online that we have for you, five of the six have Kentucky. The one that doesn't is Sad Husker, who has the opportunity to make some hay if Wisconsin can come away with the national championship. And they have Louisville being the runner-up. So if that matchup happens, Sad Husker, I like your chances, man.
Yeah, the difference in his bracket is the two teams he picked haven't even played yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you got Wisconsin and Louisville. So, I mean, you know, if you wanted to be good after the first day, just pick a bunch of Friday winners. You know what I mean? So you don't get yourself killed. Yeah, right.
Well, and I went 8-8 yesterday, well, so I did not have a lot.
Well, if you just went by the NCAA and you just didn't even fill it out, you just said, give me the the top seed, you'd have went 10-4 yesterday.
Yeah. Those four or whatever, yeah. Are memorable.
Yeah,
though.
I don't know if that was that the right amount of games. Was it 14
yeah.
or was it 16?
There's 16. There's 16.
16.
Games.
So yeah, it was you were going to go 12. You'll go 10 and there. How what was it? How many? There were 16 games.
16 games.
Then we better look that over. That there were only four upsets.
Oh, okay, so it'd be 12-4.
Yeah, Ohio State. Yeah, so the leaders are 14, right? 14-2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, if you'd have just wrote it down, you'd had 12 because Ohio State was a 10 seed that won. You know, Georgia State was a 14 that won. UAB was a 14-1, and UCLA was an 11. And the UCLA SMU, that was about a split 50-50 game. So, you know, if you look at it that way, they're just you put down the numbers.
Yeah, you know yeah. what? And I never get upset. My bracket blows up. I'm always rooting for the underdogs because I don't have a lot of money in it. I don't care. That was a free deal. If my bracket blows up, it blows up. I'm rooting for the underdogs.
Me too.
At least in the first or couple of rounds. And then I want studs in the Final Four. I want studs in the Final Four.
If Georgia State, as far as they can go, I'll be a fan of theirs all the way through.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, come on and join us here at Cunningham's Journal as all the games are going to be on. Great food specials for lunch, for dinner. They got drink specials as well. Don't forget Big Ass Beers. Come on down Friday afternoon. Watch a little NCAA basketball action. Certainly want to say thanks to our guests that we had with us today. Doug Duda out in Omaha, and he'll be back with us on Monday as well, as he'll have a report from all the action from the Omaha portion of the regional. Also, Storm head coach Jim Holton, as they're red hot and in first place right now. They'll be at home this weekend, and Big Ten studio host Davis Revison giving us his take of Nebraska basketball and Big Ten basketball as they're in the NCAA tournament. Jimmy, appreciate time, man.
Hey, we had a good time, Randy. You did a good job, and thanks for, you know, getting me through this thing again.
Good luck in Vegas, baby.
And yeah, and I'm glad you let me sit where I wanted to sit again. You didn't follow the instructions of Doug, who said, movie Jim to the other side so we can't see the TV.
Because I'm afraid I'd be staring at the TV and then we'd both be lost.
There we go.
You know, there we'd be. Hey, all right. Good luck.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.
Over the weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week. I'm Randy Bushcutter for Jim Lang, and thanks for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back at it again Monday morning at 11 right here on ESPN.